Hey, Wire Monkeys. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Cabling. Today's show, we're talking about five tools that a new installer should have on day one. Welcome to the show where we tackle the tough questions submitted by installers, technicians, project managers, estimators, area managers, ICT personnel, even customers. We are connecting at the human level so that we can connect the world. If you're watching this show on YouTube, would you mind hitting the subscribe button and the bell button to be notified when new content is being produced? If you're listening to us on one of the audio podcast platforms, would you mind leaving us a five-star rating? And if it's not a five-star rated show, shoot me a message and tell me what I need to do to make it a five-star show. Those two simple little steps helps me take on that nasty algorithm so I can get my content out to more people so I can educate, encourage, and enrich the lives of people in the ICT industry. Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What are you doing? I do live streams on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, where you get to ask your favorite RCDD, and you know that's me. Don't try to pretend like it's not. Your favorite RCDD, your questions on installation, certification, design, project management. I even do career path questions. But I can hear you now. But Chuck, I'm driving my truck at 6 p.m. on Thursdays. I don't want to get in an accident. I record them, and you can watch them at letstalkcabling.com. And finally, while this show is free, and it will always remain free, if you would like to support this show, click on that QR code right there. You can buy me a cup of coffee. You can even schedule a 15-minute one-on-one call with me, after hours, of course. And as always, we're always looking for vendor support on this show as well. Just remember, we are vendor neutral. So that way my audience can trust what I say is actually my opinion and it's not being bought off. So like I said in the intro, you know, so new people coming in the industry, one of the most common questions that we get is, what tools should I need? And there's a lot of information out there and there's a lot of tools you can buy, but I always recommend to people when they first get in the industry, make sure that you're going to stay in this industry, right? Because you don't want to go investing, you know, $2,000 in tools to find out 6 months later, yeah, you're really a photographer, not a low voltage person. So make sure that, you know, you're going to stick in this career. So I got to talking to a fellow content creator and we said, you know, that would make a great show topic. And I said, you know what? Let's get on the show and let's talk about it. So welcome to the show, Mr. Jason from Jason's Labs. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Got myself a cup of coffee. It's early morning talking to you.
That's a cup of coffee right there, buddy. Holy smokes.
Have to have a cup of coffee.
right before we fired up the show, like I was telling you before the show, we were coming back from the feed store. And so my wife's like, well, we need to stop at McDonald's and get breakfast. I'm like, I've got literally 17 minutes to get to the house. 17. And you know how McDonald's is in the mornings? But anyways, I digress. I got ADHD, if you can't tell.
Same.
Yeah.
We both have it.
There you go. So McDonald's right now is having these Shamrock Oreo McFlurries.
Ooh, that's too early for me.
It's like a liquid, what's that Girl Scout cookie? Thin Mints. It's like a liquid Thin Mint. Oh.
That should give you energy till lunchtime.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to need the energy because after I get off with you, because today we're actually recording this on a Saturday. After I get off with you, I have to go out there and have to build a goat fence. So I need the energy. I need that sugar rush.
Did you leave anything for the goats, though?
I've got 5 bags of feed in the truck form. 5 bags.
They'll be hungry. They'll be ready to go.
Absolutely. So, Jason, for those people who may not know you or your show, give us the 30,000-foot view.
I started the YouTube channel because you said it a couple seconds ago, ADHD. A lot of people out there can read a manual. A lot of people don't comprehend what the manual said. So my channel is about showing people how to use stuff from a first person using the device without any knowledge. A lot of my stuff that I open up, I don't know how to use it. I'm saying to people, I'm going to open it up. I'm going to show you exactly what you're going to get and how you're going to learn with me to use this product. Some people like that because diving into the instructions, you don't really get what you really want. You want to, maybe you bought that tool for one thing and you don't know how to use it, and the instructions kind of don't cover it. My objective is to show people how to use it from nobody's ever used the tool. Like when I got one of these, never used it. And I did a video on that and everybody liked it, because if you watch other videos, it's in depth. And sometimes people don't want in depth. They just want simple. You know what I mean? So having ADHD myself, I can show that to people who want to grasp that with a video, a quick video or a detailed video. And people like that. So I, as you can tell, I like Jonar tools. They're really good to me. I have other tools on the bench here that are really good to me. And I'm taking all those clients, people who give me this stuff to review, to show people how to use it. And that's where my channel's going.
And what's the name of your channel for those who can't read the sign behind you?
Oh, my camera's right over there. It's Jason's Lab. It's just off to the side. I can move my camera, but I'll leave it where it is.
No, leave it where it is.
Lab. So
remember, this goes out to audio podcast too, so some people can't see your
screen. Oh, yes, my bad. Yes,
yeah, Jason's Lab. Jason's Lab.
You like and subscribe my channel too, because that would help too.
And I, if you're following me, you should be following Jason. I love Jason's channel because he is unapologetically brand spanking. Well, I don't say brand spanking new, but he tells you himself.
2 years.
This is the first time I'm touching this.
Yeah, I say that in every video because I get all the haters. Oh, you're not doing that properly. You're not doing that properly. My comment's always the same thing. I am learning. I had to be in the same position as you are. You may know how to do it. That's fine. Great. Awesome. But you were in the same position as me. So help me or go away. Because I can't learn if you're not going to give me a tip.
Exactly. So, in content world, I don't know how long you've been doing your channel, but I've been doing YouTube videos for like 7 years.
Yeah.
Not across multiple platforms. And, before Let's Talk Kidding, I had the Bowser Journal YouTube channel. And so I've been doing content for a while. And you're always going to have haters. Always going to have haters. And so the key is, what do you do with those haters? Right? So
I just leave them.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you take that negative energy and you absorb it, then that's gonna affect you. But if you take that energy, right, and you use it to make yourself better, you're using their negative energy against them.
Yeah.
Right?
My best thing to people back to them is, you were in the same position as I would. It was like the same thing as building a house. You've never used a skill saw in your whole life. You maybe watch somebody how to use it and you think it's easy. You go to use it, you cut the line wrong. Okay, you're learning. You're going to make mistakes. Right. I'm making mistakes. And you know what? I'm not afraid to show people the mistakes because that's what one of the companies that I deal with, Vertical Cable, they said, you know what? We like that. We see a lot of people showing you how to use the tool perfectly. But what about the perfect part before that, where you made all the mistakes? People like to see what you can make the mistakes so they don't make the mistakes. Not many people show that. So I said, I'm going to leave them in there. And they like that. So
Yeah. Vertical Cable, Mike, they get a bad rep sometimes.
Awesome guys.
I'll tell you what, their customer service is above and beyond reproach. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely spot on with that.
A spoiler alert, there's a package coming from them that's a big box, I've been told, that they said, we like your fiber content. Nice. Something's coming your way. So strip, break, have fun, do whatever you need to do to make content. And it's on the way. And,
here's why I like the way you do your show, right? Because again, you unapologetically say, look, I'm new at this. I know I might be doing it wrong, right? But here's the thing. When you open up that box from Vertical Cable and you start playing with stuff, you're going to ask questions that another person who's brand spanking new would ask. Now, see, if I would open it, I'd be looking at it through 40 years of experience, and I may not think of the question that you might think of. That's why I love your. That's why I love your show.
Yeah, people want to see the. There's a lot of people, and I'm seeing it now because we all follow. What's it called now? It's escaping me. The Nation one. The
Liberals Nation.
Yeah. So there's a lot of guys on there joining fiber. There's a lot of guys joining how to use crimping and toning and all that kind of stuff. And they want to see how to start off. Exactly our video pause right now. People want to see what it's like to join it before they actually get into it. How hard is it to actually strip a cable? How hard is it to put a keystone on? All that kind of stuff. They want to see the basics and stuff of that.
Yeah.
You just need to learn how to do it.
Yeah. Live All These Nations just growing leaps and bounds.
Oh, it's
and Blake's huge. Doing a phenomenal job with that. And I don't know if you caught that. I think I did see you comment on it.
I comment a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he just did this last night. I think. One of the things. There was always this huge pass through versus traditional mod end connector thing, and finally Blake came down with the hammer and said, anybody who starts a debate will get banned. And then there's like six or seven people right in a row Low voltage guys, I commented on it too,
and I was like, finally, really? Because it's traffic.
Well, low voltage guys were sarcastic. So, of course, they're on there. Well, maybe I should pass through this and then not really. And then, bam. I was like, yes. Yes. Loved it.
It comes down to what works for you. And I mean, I'm not going to get into the debate of pass through versus the other version. I mean, if it works, you have no problems and you terminate and you have a clean blade and you cut it. Unless you're working a data center and you have like $3,000 crimper tools that you get a new blade every six crimps and you're working with ends that are $50. I mean, really, half the time the people that are on there are crimping cables for like home networks or cameras or something basic. I mean,
Yeah, I don't want to get in the whole pass-through versus traditional, you know, mod end on this show because that's not the topic of this show. But, you know, I just did a show two shows ago, maybe three shows ago. I had a an engineer come on, and we talked a little bit about pass-through versus MPTLs. And the key there was have a good quality tool, maintain that tool.
The blade at the end that cuts the wire that makes everything flush is the most important part about it.
Absolutely. So you heard the subject for today's show. Top five tools that somebody brand spanking new. We're gonna come from the position of this guy was literally or girl was flipping hamburgers 2 weeks ago.
And now wants to make more money.
Now you could probably make more money fast food, right? and they said, you know, I want to have a career, not a job.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a real career path here working flipping hamburgers. So, but this low voltage thing seems kind of cool, right? So they go get hired by a low voltage company. And of course, they put in their 2 weeks notice at McDonald's. They got a week, well, not necessarily McDonald's, any fast food place. So they're going to be starting in a week and they're probably thinking, man, what kind of tools am I going to need for this job? Because, you know, I mean, I've got the basics like screwdrivers and stuff, but what specific kind of tools am I going to need day one? Right. Mm-hmm. That's the parameter that I want to approach this show from. Right. So I'll let you go first. What is the one tool that you would recommend that person buy?
The first tool I would buy. Coming out, and I probably have some hand tools, is a bag. Because what am I going to put all my tools in to move around the side? Now, you probably see all my posts online. I really love the Jonar Tools backpack. This thing goes wherever I go. If I go to work, I take it with me. Even if I don't use it, I take it with me because it's got stuff in there I can and can't use. I would invest in a bag, something that you can zip up and take with you and put all your tools into it, something that's organized. So when you put your tools in there, you can open it up and go, I need this tool, put it back in there. Something that is expandable. You're going to probably not have every tool for this bag, but it's going to grow. And you're going to buy tools that are going to fit in the bag and work with you. Probably going to have even multiple bags if you get bigger and bigger and bigger. The one thing I really like about the Jonard one is it's got a rubber bottom on the back and it's built very well. And for, I think it was $129 American, maybe a little bit less. It's built, it's going to last you 10 years. That's why I got it, because I need something that I could use it. The rubber bottom, I could put it on a dirt floor or on the ground getting out of my truck. It's going to survive. My other bags that I have, no.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that make the backpacks. Like Milwaukee has one, Klein has one, Jonard has one. Future potential show for you and I. The Jonard tool bag versus the Milwaukee tool bag versus the Klein tool bag. Show off of the tool bags.
You know what's really I don't know how to say this. The Klein bag and the Jonard bag, I think, come from the same manufacturer.
That wouldn't surprise me.
They look exactly the same. One's orange and one's blue.
when you look at the modular toolboxes, right? The Milwaukee Packouts and the Klein Mod boxes and all those, a lot of those come from the same company in Israel.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that happens a lot in manufacturing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't realize how much it takes to gear up to design,
make your own thing,
go through the process of beta testing it, and then rolling out to a market. Yeah. That's a lot of stuff. And sometimes, you know, they'll take a product that's already there. So you might be competitors, and then they'll take that and they'll rebrand it as their own. But they do that and they're paying royalties back to the original company.
Or what they'll do is they'll take the exact same thing and they'll put something on it too. Like they'll look back at all the feedback. People are like, oh, I don't like that bag, but because it doesn't have this. And they'll be like, oh, we're going to take that same design because people like it.
Right.
And we're going to add this thing to it because people.
Well, that's exactly what Modbox did. right? So they looked at Milwaukee. We're not going to argue. Milwaukee is the king when it comes to the modular pack. I mean, they got the most accessories. You know, they're all over the place. They got huge.
My birthday's on Monday, and guess what's here tomorrow?
What?
I got a Paco kit.
One of these?
I got one of those. The guy that I do some work for said, Merry Christmas or Happy Birthday. Here we go. This is for you. And okay, well, I'm sorry, but.
happy early birthday, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Milwaukee has obviously the biggest following. And you know, if you go to Facebook and you type in Milwaukee Paco, you'll find 10 billions, Facebook billions. Channels. Right,
you'll be there for hours.
So what Modbox is, because they kind of came after Packout did, was they listened to the complaints that people had about the Milwaukee Packouts, and then they made those changes with the Modbox, right? But on the flip side of that, the Modboxes, they're great, but they don't have the same breadth of options that Milwaukee does yet.
What about Klein? Klein just dropped something. I think you saw Blake's new post about that orange Paco kit. That's
the Modbox.
Okay.
Yeah, that's called Modbox. Yep. Mm. Yeah, I'm currently working my way through a series, Packout versus Modbox. I already released the episode where I talked to Milwaukee, after chasing them for several months. They kind of finally came back and said, "Yeah, no, we're not interested in coming on the show." Okay. Then the next episode is going to be, I've got a Packout kit and I've got a Modbox kit up in the new
pipeline. I wish. I can't get them in Canada. Up here in Canada, we don't get them. They're going to be months and months and months away. And I don't know who I would message to say, hey, give me one, because it's a big box and it's expensive. But when they start becoming familiar, I'm going to be like, I might want to try one myself.
Right. Okay. So your suggestion is buy some type of a way to carry those tools. And I like the fact that you pointed out you can be organized, because when you're organized, if you just throw everything, I did on Wednesdays. I had this name this tool thing graphic that I put out. So the one I put out this week or last week was a Klein bag, a canvas bag that a lot of linemen use, and you would just throw your tools in that. Well, the problem with that is you got to dig through to find what you want.
How many times have you jammed your hand with what do they call those? Any drill bit.
Right, exactly. So
we're zapping it because you threw it in there and forgot that. I'll put it away later.
right, exactly. So with an example like the Jannard tool bag that you've got, when you open up, it's got a place for everything. So what that does is, A, it keeps you from getting injured, you know, from like you just said, and B, you can do a quick inventory at the end of the day to make sure you put all your tools back. You can just open up, because if you put your tools in the exact same spot every time, it'll be glaringly obvious there's an open spot there. What tool goes there? And then you've got to, okay, where did I use it? Because how many times have you found a tool in the ceiling? Because somebody forgot to go back.
I did it. I helped a guy last week and I went up there and I'm like, oh, hey, look, a pipe cutter. Yeah, the plumber was up here plumbing some gas because they got a new one of those wireless tank, the hot, what do they call them? The hot water on demands.
Gotcha.
So it's naturally gas powered, right? So it heats the water real quick. And I went up there into the attic to run some wire, and I'm like, oh, pipe cutter? Oh, look, a screwdriver. Somebody didn't check their inventory before they left.
Right, exactly right. And that's exactly what tool organization will do for you, right? You can scan quickly and realize, hey, there's something.
And saves you money, too, because now you're not going back to buy a tool that.
Oh, I like that point. So my first
job is like, oh, I left my $50 tool. Do I go back and get it, or do I buy a new one?
Yep. So my first pick would be a good pair of cutters, a good pair of snips, right? Or some people call them scissors, you know, and there's different kinds. You know, there's the old version kind that I learned how to cut on. And then, you know, Snippix has a really cool set, and Milwaukee has a really cool set. They got the extended hand, so it kind of goes across your palm stuff, because you're going to need that to cut 4-pair cabling. Some people use them to strip the jacket off the cabling to terminate, although technically that's not the correct way to do it, but I'm not going to argue that. But it's a tool that you will use all the time. As a matter of fact, they are so valuable. I've got 3 or 4 of them here on the farm, and I use them to cut open.
I don't know if I have the right one though.
Yeah. Well, which one do you have?
I'll put it back in my tool bag.
I'll never be the person to say that's the right snips or that's the wrong snips. It that's a personal decision. That's like asking boxers or briefs, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Those are a great set. Those are absolutely a great set.
These are just cheap ones. Until I bought a cheap pair just to see if I like them or not. Exactly. I didn't know if I'm going to like this kind of scissors or if there's other pairs and stuff like that. They're okay. So now I might go up and buy a better pair now. So they're just Amazon Asterine or something like that. They got the little grap so you can put wire in there and cut
right,
them
right,
and
right.
They're sharp and they're
they look a lot like the Nippix. They look a lot like the Nippix.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. I think they're like a clone of that. But
they probably
work, so later on I'll go out and buy a pair.
Yeah. And you know, that actually brings up another point before I flip it back over to you for your next tool, is let's talk about quality of tools, right? If brand spanking new to the industry, if you've been in the industry for 15 years, buy the best because it's going to last you a long time. But this show is approaching it from person's day one coming in the industry. They're still not 1% sure. Buy the best tool that you can afford. What I'm saying is buy the best tool that you can afford, right? That may not be the best of the best because, you know, and if you do that, then, you know, if you do decide to stay in the industry, it'll last. And I would also suggest too, try to buy tools that have multiple uses. What I mean by that is, again, I talked about the snips, right? Snips are used for cutting cable, pull string, cutting pennies in half, all that fun kind of stuff that we do with our snip.
I came back to doing wiring and stuff like that. I didn't know what kind of tools I was going to need because I didn't know what kind of stuff they were going to push me into. My boss said to me, or one of the other bosses said to me, he goes, work with the other guy. Try, if he's okay, borrow his tools. See what tools that you're going to be borrowing from him for a week. Go out and buy those tools for yourself. Don't go out and buy stuff that people necessarily 100% recommend to you because they use those tools doesn't mean that you're going to use those tools. So
right.
If you go to your partner that you're being trained with or something like that, and you're always using a pair of side cutters from him and they work for you and you can afford them, buy those. If there's other tools that he has that you don't use, do you really need them? So buy tools that you're going to really use, but also work for you too. Because borrowing from them gives you the chance how to use it, but to say, oh yeah, this is a tool I should go out and buy. I'm going to need this in my bag. So now I'm going to go out and buy it.
Absolutely. So technicians will absolutely loan their tools, but I got a list of 146 pro tips on my website. And I just thought of another one to add to it. So I'm now going to have 147 pro tips because I'm adding this one. And this pro tip is if you borrow somebody else's tools, return them in better condition than you borrowed them and put them back where you got them from.
Yeah.
Because again, remember, organization.
If you lose it, go to the person and say, I lost your tool. I'm going to go out and buy you a new one right now because that's your responsibility. You borrow it, you replace it.
Right.
I mean, if something happens, an accident, the party will understand. But if you lose it, I mean, it's fair.
Some technicians, more senior technician, you know, maybe like a lead tech or something like that, and they know that they're always working with newer people. Sometimes they will keep extra tools in their bag because they know that people are going to be borrowing them. And so what they might do is, for example, they might buy the knockoff snips like you just showed, right? And then they realize, you know what? I really want to I bleed Milwaukee red. I want to have the Milwaukee ones, right? So they go buy the one. Now they got two, right? So now when a young apprentice comes, and they said, can I borrow your snips? They're not going to give them the Milwaukees. They're going to say, here, have these. Just make sure you put them back. So some technicians will carry a few extra tools of each kind because they know that apprentice may ask to borrow them. And if the apprentice forgets to, you know, bring them back or they lose it, it's not quite so painful when they lose that knockoff as opposed to where they lose that Milwaukee tool.
Yeah. I mean, tools cost a lot of money. So after a while, you start to gather in your head, okay, I bought this cheaper tool. It got me through. This is something I'm really going to rely on. This is my bread and butter. I'm going to go out and buy a proper pair of side cutters or whatever you need that's going to be doing.
Right.
Like crimping tools, you can go out and buy a Klein kit that's $39 and it comes with the ends. It comes with a bunch of stuff and it's a crimper. It gets you going. Later on, there's better ones out there. Yeah. Like the better ones, can you replace blades? Yes, that's what you want.
Right.
It just depends. Like you said, the name of the game is, what tools do I need? What do I need to invest in? Do I need a pair of side cutters that are $300 right now? No. Are you going to make? What's my return on investment? Do I need money on this tool or do I need money on this tool?
Right.
It just depends, right?
So what is your second tool? Your first tool was a backpack. My first tool was snips. What's your second tool?
My second tool is one that I just actually bought myself. I don't touch high voltage, anything above low voltage. I don't do any AC wiring. I had to do it, but I just refused to. I come into many situations where I have to put power or a Ethernet jack or something near a power outlet. And when you're at a customer's house or a business and you need to turn off the power or know where the power is if you need to turn it off, you can't just start flicking switches, because if you got computers or networking gear somewhere, you're turning somebody off, you're going to cause an issue. So I went out and bought this $50 Klein digital circuit breaker finder. The reason why I really bought it is because, one, it'll tell me if I hit the breaker right and if there's no power near this outlet. And second, it'll tell me if I'm turning off the right one. Because if you're working in an office where people are working on the computers and you flick the computer off and you lose all their data, you're probably going to be escorted out, or you're going to become frowned upon. So I went out and bought this $50 tool that can allow me to do this. I'm not going to be using the test AC wire. I'm just making sure that the plug I'm working near is on or off. What do you call those in the United States there where you have a double gang? It's kind of like a back box, but you can put them behind TVs. Electrician will run wire into it, and one side's for plugs. The other side is for low voltage. Like,
we just call them double gang boxes.
Well, these ones set in, and they sit in the wall. I'll give you a picture after, and you could put a description in the video if you want. But many times I've done those, but I don't like touching AC wire. So I'll use this exam tool to say, yeah, it's on or off. So that way I can become comfortable to move the box and do work with it and stuff like that.
And $50
is what it comes down to for me.
And $50 is cheap insurance, right? I mean, because number one, like you said, if you throw the wrong circuit breaker and somebody's computers goes down in the middle of that legal brief that they've been working on for a couple of days, trust me, you're going to hear it.
You're probably going to get dragged out by your overalls or pants real quick, and you're not coming back.
Or you might get sued for loss of productivity. Yeah, and what's a lawyer charge per hour? $250, $500 per hour?
You know, depends on what lawyer's office you're at.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's actually a good tool. I never thought about that tool, but, you know, that $50 cheap insurance. Absolutely. So my second tool that I would recommend would be a punch tool, right? Don't buy the cheap plastic ones that come with the kits. I'm talking about go buy the punch tool and try to buy the one that you can get the different types of blades that'll fit into it, right? That you can buy
pull them out in reverse.
Yeah. So, you know, they come with 66 blades, 110 blades, Bix blades. There you go. Perfect example. So that tool right now, last time I priced in Lowe's, I want to say it was like $40, $50.
Yeah, I don't know who this makes. This one.
That's the one that's got the tools in the sides too, that you can pull out and you can use it to pick wires out of the termination frame.
I think that's what that's for.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's for.
Until now, but yeah,
So if you're working on a large phone frame where there's lots of cross connects and you're working with one tiny pair, that's exactly what that hook's made for. You open it up, you can grab just that one conductor and pull it out of the termination. Because if you do it with your fingers, what will happen is you could cause an adjacent cross connect to go down. So a total all investment for a punch tool, it's probably going to be under $100. $100.
And once again, interchange blades too, right?
Right. And the reason you need it – now, I'm not saying – I'm just saying buy the punch tool and buy the most common type of IDC that you're going to terminate, right? Yes. So, and most likely it's going to be in the U.S. It'll probably be 110s. Up in your neck of the wood, it'll be Bix, right?
I don't do any Bix works, but mostly if I do it, it'd be Keystones is what I'd use mine.
Right. Well, that's exactly why I'm recommending the punch tool, because you're going to be terminating jacks, right? And that's the tool that you terminate jacks with. That's the tool that you terminate patch panels with. Now,
I think there's a tool that goes along with your tool too that saves your hand. Some of those I've seen online, they come with like a piece that you could put your keystone into. So when you punch onto it, you don't punch into the wall or you don't punch into your hand. There's a tool that you're certain. I think the person, like if you're using Levington, we'll use that because I see a lot of Levington people use that. Levington makes their own. Yeah, it's a tool that you put your keystone. That right there saves your hand. So let's add to your punch down tool that if you're going to buy a punch down tool, please go buy that. That will save you from going home without a hole in your hand.
So I don't. Yeah, Levin's not a sponsor of the show.
Nope.
But
I just used it as a name because I see it up here a lot.
Yeah, exactly right. So the advantages of this type of a tool, and there's different ones. Yeah. I do happen to think this is the best one because this one actually fits the palm of your hand. Not the old round ones; they never fit your hands right.
No, you get
And it's got this like neoprene type material, so it sticks. But here's the thing. Like you said, it saves you from an injury, right? How many times have you, well, I know I've seen next to this. They got the jack in the palm of their hand, they're punching it down, then the jack rolls over and bam, right? The tool saves that. It keeps you from doing that. And technicians, especially newer technicians, they, you know, they're punching it. So that when that happens, they're like, okay, I'm not doing that in the palm of my hand anymore. So what am I going to turn? They'll put the jack against the wall. Punch it down. And then now that's going to leave an imprint on the wall. Again, you can use this and it will save that as well. So, and that tool, I think you can buy that tool off Amazon.
For to check your workout, looks at the wall and there's all those stone marks, or you rolled it on the wall and you put a hole in the wall. So you got them.
Right. And that tool there, like I said, a lot of times when you buy a lot of jacks, sometimes they'll throw it in there.
Yeah.
And you can also buy them individually. And again, it doesn't have to be the Levitin brand. I just happen to have one here in the office.
I think Amazon $9. So
yeah. I was going to say less than $10.
$10 for that. Yeah. $50 for a tool that's going to last forever.
Absolutely. So even if you buy the punch tool, the 110 blade or the 66 blade or whatever blade you get, and again, in the U.S., 110 is going to be the most common, and you get one of these, you're still under $100.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Still under $100.
Yep.
Right? So. Yeah. So that was my second tool. What's your third tool?
I'm going to reach over to two tools. Now, this show is about buying tools under $100. This one tool that has, I think, $110. It's a simple, I'm going to go with network cable checker. I'm not going to say anything about that because it doesn't do anything more of that. Jonar Tools, I think this is about $110. It does coax. And it does foam, and it does RJ45. Simple. Very, very simple. It will get you perfect for a couple years or maybe months to get you to know that your basic, a basic test, you got continuity on the end. So 1 to 8, 1 to 4, or your coax, no shorts on that, it's working. If you get into the business and you're making good money and you're liking the job, go and buy one that does much more. My next tool that goes with me. Now, I'll come from a point that I have some very expensive tools on my bench in my bag that I take with me when I go do jobs and stuff like that. The first tool I always grab, instead of my $3,000 Navitech from Trend Networks, I grab my PoE Pro. Basic, it does PoE, it does testing of how long the cable is, and it does a lot more. You don't need a $10,000 tool to do home networking / business networking if you're not verifying stuff. So I would say buy a good tester. If you're getting good money and you're doing a lot of testing and stuff like that, go up on next level and buy something that's going to work with you. I recommend the Jonar tools because it comes as a complete kit for that budget starting and stuff like that. But after that, I would say the PoE Pro is the next in line to buy for a awesome tool to do.
Well, that tool would be absolutely perfect for if you're putting in a new job, like I said, home network. You're not really looking to certify that cable, right? Or for basic troubleshooting.
Yep, basic troubleshooting.
If you're in the business installing structured cabling, and clients are paying you. Now, this is not a tool that I recommend that the new person go out and buy. Okay. If you're in the business of putting in cabling that you're selling to a customer, you should absolutely test it with a certifier. Yep. Now, we can have the conversation on whether or not you sell those test results to the customer, but you should be using a certifier because
from my point of view, it's my own. Did I do a good job and is it working and where am I coming back?
Exactly. So my point is, Here's why I recommend a certifier. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a place for what you actually showed me. It's called testers are three types. You have certifiers, qualifiers, and verifiers. What you just showed was a verifier. You're verifying there's no opens, no shorts, no reversals, no transposals. That's exactly what that tool's made for, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. I'll give you a scenario though. I would use that. And this is actually real service call I did one time. Got assigned to do a job for a law firm. I used to work in DC, so I used to do a lot of law firms. And so I pull up to the site. I had three guys on my crew. We pull up to the loading dock and we're doing this job. It's like 50, 60 cables, right? So I tell my crew, look, unload the truck and then bring everything up. I'm going to go up and I'm going to meet the customer, right? So I go up and meet the customer. I had my backpack with me with my tools and stuff. And so I get up there and I meet with the customer and they say, look, before we do the walkthrough, one of the senior partners their cable's not working. And I go, well, was it working yesterday? And they go, yeah. Okay. Well, am I going to use the verifier that's in my backpack, or am I going to go all the way back down to the loading dock to get that $10,000, $20,000 certifier? See, there's a specific use for each of those tools. Now, yeah, like I said, as a business owner, if I'm being paid to put cable in a customer's office, I would use a certifier as the final test. You can still do verification testing and then do certification set, because what it does is it gives you, I don't know if you watch Ed, the old tech guy, he calls it this. I was like, it's a brilliant term. It gives you a birth record for that cable.
Yes.
So now you've documented that that cable works perfectly on this day. So if anything happens to it afterwards, you have justification for going to charge for that service call. Yep. And what the certifier is going to do that your verifier won't do is a certifier will tell you if there's problems with crosstalk. It'll tell you if there's problems with return laws. It'll tell you if there's problems with EMI or RFI, right? So certifiers will do all that. The four-pair tester, the verifiers won't. Don't get me wrong. There's a place for verifiers, but that's, you know, that's not neither here nor there. So I'm sorry.
Depending on what you're billing out. Soapbox. If you're there to bill out to fix an issue and you have that tool, that's what that tool is for. If you're there just to put a keystone on the end or run a camera or something like that, I mean,
then the verifier is perfect.
You are stuff like that.
The verifier is absolutely perfect for that. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I just want to point that out because that's a common argument that you hear. You'll see it in all of the low voltage communities, Low Voltage Nation, telecom technicians, TKW. They all had the same arguments. You know, I don't want to use the certifier, you know, whatever.
I went to Home Depot on this name brand. I'm not going to throw any brands on them because I got lots of them myself. This one says I got 1 to 8. Look, all the lights are lighting up. Okay, well, that shows continuity. I could do that with a meter that I have in my pocket. Exactly the same thing.
Right.
That's not what – and that comes to the electricians, high voltage, don't understand low voltage stuff because of crosstalk and noise on the line.
Right.
Yeah, yep. It's got continuity, but that all that's doing is sending small voltage down there to say you got a pair that's lit up with an LED on the end. That's all it's doing.
Yep.
Now you put a certifier on there and it goes fail because there's so much AC line voltage.
Right. Because the cable's laying on top of a fluorescent light fixture, right?
Oh, no, it's even worse. The electrician put the wire in there, used the same wire staple as the Cat 6 and the AC line together in the same run. So they're like millimeters apart. So
What? You're not supposed to staple high performance data cabling?
No. Zip tie them all together all the way up the wall.
Oh, there's another hot topic. Zip ties versus Velcro. Not getting into that today. All right. So my third tool. So that puts us at 6 tools already. My third tool is some type of a cable stripper, right? You can use the snips for stripping cable, although in today's world, best practice, you're not supposed to.
So that depends on what kind of cable. If you're stripping speaker wire, who cares, really? Or,
well,
16-2 maybe for a light fixture, maybe, okay, because you can't dent it.
Make sure I clarify this, because there's more than one kind of cable stripper out there, right? I'm not talking about the ones that got the little notches in. I'm talking about the one that you can strip UTP, STP, and coax, right? So, and the reason, again, they're cheap. You can buy them for under $20. There's some you can get for under $10. And the reason I recommend this for the new person is because the new person, there's a lot of spec technicians that will use their snips to strip the wire, right? The issue with doing that is if you dig in too deep, you're going to scar the conductor. That's called a shiner. Yeah. And you don't see that when you do the termination. But what happens is once you scarred that copper conductor, once you terminate and then you push that faceplate back into the wall, it breaks.
Yeah, right? And then you got no continuity. Then you're finding out, was it that end that broke or was it this end that broke? And then you're wasting keystones and time.
Now, for a technician who's been doing this for like 20 years and they've always used snips, you've developed the muscle memory. Okay, I'm fine with that. But the brand, again, this conversation is geared towards the person who's flipping hamburgers 2 weeks ago. They haven't developed
it. You do it thinking it's easy to do and then just does it. Right. So the
wire strippers, what they're going to do is, they've got that little middle blade in it, and some of you can actually even adjust the blade for different thicknesses.
I have one right here that I'll show you too.
Yeah. So you only scar the conductor. You never scar the dielectric on the conductor. You'll never have an issue. And some of the new manufacturers, because the correct way if you're using snips, and I know there's a lot of guys out there that don't do this, is after you lightly scar it, you bend it to hear it snap, right? Pull off the jacket that exposes the conductors and also exposes what's called the rip cord.
Yep.
You take that ripcord and you pull it down the vertical axis. It splits the jacket. You're supposed to peel the jacket back and then cut off that jacket. So that way, where the conductors come out of the jacket, it has never been touched by a tool, right?
Yeah.
The problem is manufacturers are moving to cables without ripcords.
Yeah, I've seen it. What side is it on? Because this bag's really... Oh, it's right here. Well, I keep putting it in here, but sometimes I put it on the top, but I know exactly where they are. So this is an adjustable one. So when I go to site and before I start cutting wires, I take a piece of wire that's hanging out of the wall that's maybe sometimes too long, and I go preset this to all the wires. So I go up there, preset it, and make sure it is. The Jonard one, I think, is $29 or something like that because the jack moves around. You can change the blade, and it does coax and stuff like that. It's not just four Cat 5, Cat 6 and stuff like that. But you can adjust it by pushing this up and down.
Right.
So when you do that, you go around once, check it, pull it off. Is it scored? Right. Snap it. Oh, perfect. And I always check every one of them to make sure.
That's a good practice. And the more complex the stripper, the higher the price is going to be. Like I said, $29 is on the higher end of prices for strippers, but it's because you all have all those options. You have all those options.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. That, it doesn't do just...
That's exactly why.
There, Cat there are, 6 cuts and RG40.
Yeah, there are other... And I'll tell you why I like those better than the generic ones, because the generic ones, they will have like one strip for Cat 6A, one strip for 5E, right? And the reason they got that is because the outside diameter is different. So the outside diameter of 5E on average is 0.18 inches. The outside diameter on a Cat 6A cable, depending on the manufacturer, it can be anywhere from 0.23 to 0.357. So it's a big...
And I find that with this too. So when you put this on top of the wire, if you can go side to side, you got a different piece of wire.
Right, exactly. And you can adjust it down. So just that's why I like that tool. It's a tiny bit more expensive, but you can adjust it for the different types of cable. The generic ones, it's a generic number. And if you get a cable that's a little bit bigger than the average, you might actually cut in a little too deep. So
that's right. And you want to be careful with it. Yep. Data wires are sensitive.
They are sensitive. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. All right. Very. So what's your third tool?
I think I'm on my fourth tool.
Are you on your fourth tool? I've lost track.
Yeah, I would say I'm going to agree with you with the wire stripper. This and my bag are something I use a lot of. Plus, I use my Keystone, or not my Keystone, not this one. It's on the other side. I flipped it. It's on this side.
Yeah. Crimper. Well, okay. So the reason I didn't mention those for a new person is not going to be crimping mod ends on when they first start pulling cable. That's going to be a little while. That's why I didn't recommend. And that's also why I didn't recommend, you know, you mentioned vertical cable. They have a tool that you can lace out your Keystone jack and then you crimp it and it cuts all the conductors and sits them all the time. Right. That's a little bit more expensive than that traditional 110 tool. That's a tool I would get after I've made the decision that I'm going to stay in this field for a while. Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. So that's what I got one too, actually, in my case in the back. I should just buy me a tool bag because I got tools in that box there, tools in this box over here.
And we should talk to Jonard Tools and see if we can get you one of these and say, hey, let's get Chuck to do it. And then you can do a video on what it's like.
I am vendor neutral. I would absolutely do that. I would absolutely do that.
I think that should happen.
See, now you distract me. Now I forgot what I was saying with my ADD. We were talking about crimpers. They're doing the mass terminations. So vertical cable has one, and then a lot of people don't know this. Fluke, has a tool that can do the same thing for different types. You got to make sure you have the right one for the type. They got one for Leverton, one for Panduit, one for other people, and all this stuff. That's another one, right? I didn't recommend that for the new person right out of the gate because, again, a punch tool is only $100, right? And the punch tool can do everything that one can. It might take you a little bit longer, but it can do everything. But if you decided to stay in the industry, and let's say that your company has standardized on vertical cabling, then I would absolutely get one of those.
You got to look at what the company uses for a standard because you don't want to go buy tools that aren't going to work at the company's standard products. Right. Are they a Levington only? Okay, well, then you need to adapt to their tools and what they're going to use. If they're going to be using vertical cable or any other brand.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. If they've decided Belden is – because companies do this, right? They'll enter into professional relationships with different types of connectivity manufacturers. So you might be working for a company that all the majority, not want to say all, the majority of what they do is Belden, right? Well, then you're going to want tools that work well with Belden cabling.
That's right.
If they're using Panduit, then you're going to want to use, you know, Panduit's got lots of cool little tools and stuff that you can get for that. So you want to make sure that you get those tools. Now, those companies will do other stuff, but the vast majority of what they're doing is going to be within that relationship that they've established with whatever connectivity manufacturer. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to when you're a junior, we'll see you're a junior because you're learning. Look around and see what the other guys are using. Ask questions. Can I try that tool? What does it do? How does it work?
Right.
Learn. And if you're going to buy a tool, you got to think to yourself, is this tool going to make me money in this job? Or do I need to go out and buy this tool?
Right.
Kind of thing. Which tools do I need? The beginning. And can I afford to buy the top quality? Or should I just buy the basic lower end tool to get me going to see if it's going to be a good tool and to invest in and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In the beginning, you don't want to go out and spend $3,000 on tools the first day of work. And
exactly.
Like, oh, I don't like this job.
Yeah. Well, if you've been in the industry for 20 years, that makes sense to have that kind of investment in your tools.
Yeah.
But brand spanking new when you haven't decided yet, like I said, just kind of feel your way out until you make that mental decision. I love this. Because, you know, let's be honest, some people, The low voltage installation world used to be a springboard to go to a different career path. So what I mean by that is there was a lot of people who they wanted to become a PBX engineer or they wanted to become a network engineer. Well, a lot of companies won't hire you right out of the gate unless you know somebody. So what they'll do is they'll go work for a cable company putting in cable and then get exposure to that equipment. And then they'll use that as a springboard to become a PBX engineer or a network engineer. Now you're starting to find because of all the cool stuff that we're doing as an industry, like single pair Ethernet, power over Ethernet, you know, fault powered managed systems, building automation stuff. Our industry is becoming really hot right now. So a lot of people are like, no, I want to go back to doing cabling.
Yeah.
You know? And let's be honest, pulling cable, terminating cable, testing cable is a lot less complex than trying to figure out, you know, a port on a switch and how to set it up and why it's not working because you got it set on one setting wrong on the one end. And it's, or at least for me, it is. I find it a lot easier to figure out, you know, hey, does the tester say passive?
Because I'm an IT technician. I understand both aspects. So that's why I like it. But some guys don't want to dive into learning how to program a switch. They want to know how to run the wire. That's their job. The other person that comes to site could do the other parts of it.
Yep. So my final recommendation, tool recommendation, and actually I literally just changed this 5 seconds ago because I had a tool in my head because, you know, when you and I talked about doing this show, I didn't really pick the tools until we sat down and started recording. Again, that's just how I do things, right? So what I recommend, and again, this is going to be a cheap tool. I mean, when I say cheap, it's going to be under $25, either a torpedo level or it's actually a torpedo level. I was going to say the box, the templates that like Gennard has them. It looks like a work box, but it's got the levels on both sides. Then you can do the tracing. You cut out the drywall, put in. Get that too. But if you're going to buy one, buy the torpedo level first, because you can use the torpedo level to make sure that your ladder rack is level. You can use the torpedo to make sure that your two post rack is straight up and down. You can use the torpedo level to make sure that square that you're going to cut in the wall is actually level.
Now, a torpedo level? Like, is that one of those little small ones?
It's a level that's like 6 inches long or less. That's called a torpedo level. There you go. See? Look at that.
I didn't know they were called torpedo levels.
Yep. They're called torpedo levels.
I've had this thing for 15 years and I haven't lost it. I'm amazed.
There you go. So that's my final recommendation. So I think we actually did more than 5 tools.
I think we did more than 5 tools, but those are things that give people options to what they want to buy because I think all the stuff we just named is probably under $200 per person if they were to go out and buy and shop around for that. So instead of coming to the site with $2,000 of tools, they spent $200. And
here's what this is going to do. If you're the brand spanking new low volt person and you went out and you spent, I don't even think except for the expensive one that you showed, I think we're well under $200.
Yeah. The most expensive thing here is the backpack. If we don't bring in my PoE Pro,
that's talking about the PoE Pro. Yeah. So if you're under $200 or well, actually You said that was 129. The punch tool was going to be about
the Jonar 100. One, I think, is $99.
$250. Less than $250 US, right?
Yes.
You will show up on day one. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is what that's going to do for the brand spanking new coming in here. They are going to get respect from their lead tech, because the lead tech is like, look, this person is showing up prepared. I don't have to loan all my stuff and have to, you know, track my tools. You're going to get respect from day one. And that is going to help build that relationship. And that person might take you under the wing and mentor you even more than if they just view you as, oh, you're the guy that just kind of showed up on day one. And I had to tell you, you can't wear Crocs on a job site.
You can't? Why? But I got a hard helmet on.
I've got Crocs. I have nothing against Crocs. I wear them on the farm all the time.
There's a ton in place for those things, my friend.
I have a farm. So if I'm going out to like just feed the goats in the morning or do some of the chickens, I am not going to put on my boots. I'm going to throw on my Crocs, go out there. And then when I come in, I can kick them off, because whatever shoes we wear in the pens, we don't wear them in the house. Right.
No.
So the Crocs, you can kick them off right outside, walk right in, no transference or nothing. So I have Crocs. I have nothing against Crocs. Crocs are good shoes.
There's a time and place for everything.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So for those of you who are listening, exactly. So for those of you who are listening, if you have a suggestion for a tool that somebody brand spanking new should buy that you think we missed, you're screaming at us all the time, Chuck, what about this? Jason, what about that? Put it in the comments below.
Let us know.
Yeah, exactly right.
And then maybe we could do another video and we'll go, what is your favorite tool, no matter what the price is, that you buy, that you use on a daily or regular basis? Maybe we'll do another show saying what's the most expensive.
Well, I can tell you right now what that would be for me.
I can tell you too.
Okay, all right, let's do this. All right. You go first. If what tool would you buy, no matter what the price is, that you would just love to have?
I would go out and buy a Navitech. The Lanik Spora Pro, a very high-end networking tool. I have a new one coming. I'm not going to spoil it, but I have a new tool that Trend Networks is sending me to. The reason for that is because I'm an on-site technician and I barely take my laptop. And most of the stuff I'm troubleshooting is there network connectivity to this port or this is the tool that the Navitech that I use, I could plug into the network. I could turn it on and go, yes, auto test. I got PoE, I got LAN activity, I got an IP address, I got DNS, I can do outbound traffic testing. It does it all in one shot. Which direction am I going to troubleshoot this network? Yeah, yeah. So that would be my favorite.
Okay.
100% right now.
Okay. So mine, if I were to win the lottery and I could just buy any tool that I want, it would be, you ready for this? A UCL Swift KF4A Fusion Splicer.
Oh. You got me. I'm actually trying to get one of those myself because we all know I'm trying to learn fiber.
Yep.
And I reached out to them and it looks like they're going to send me one to try and play with, because I'm going to show you guys how I know how to not do this job.
Right. Yeah. I'm good friends with UCL Swift. And I'll tell you, if I could just justify to the wife to take $5,500 out of our savings account and buy one, dude, I would have one here on Monday.
They look very, very nice. And a lot of guys that I talk to that do high-end fiber splicing would recommend that. I mean, you could buy $1,000 one. It will work. It's not going to be.
But the thing I mean about the KF4A is it's all-inclusive. You don't need anything else.
No, it's there. Everything's there. Cutter, stripper, wire, everything. Yeah. It does it all. Yes. Testing everything.
Yes.
What would you pair that with, though?
Oh, well,
oh,
that's a good question.
You got a fiber, you got a connection, but now what are you going to use to test to make sure that works?
An optical loss test set. Tempo Communications, they make OTDRs and optical loss test sets, and they just came out with a brand new thing called a fiber trainer. They're going to be on in 2 weeks. Their show's going to come out in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I would buy a power meter from them, because a lot of people don't realize this. They think OTDRs are the best. OTDRs are great tools for troubleshooting.
Yeah.
They're a power meter is more accurate. It's going to measure the actual loss.
Yeah. So. I've been learning this and I've been saying it in some of my videos. When you're doing fiber anybody can get light at the other end. The light is not the problem. So you can use your VFL. You got light. What you want to know is your loss. So just because you got a VFL on there, you're shooting a lot of power and a lot of light through that. Big deal. But when you're plugging it into something like a transceiver, it doesn't have 60 milliwatts of light to go through that. So what is your loss? Your loss is your battle. That's your battle point between you're trying to get a near, you're never going to get it, zero loss, but you're trying to get the lowest number of loss before you succeeded your job. That's the whole point of fiber.
Yep. Jason, it's been an absolute pleasure, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me on here. Go like and subscribe both of our channels. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure.
I apologize for the sun coming in right now because my light's changing because I'm beside a window.
We gave you more than your money's worth. I know we said five, but we went well beyond that and had some pretty interesting conversations. So again, if we've missed a tool that you think they should have, put it in the comments below. And as Jason said, make sure you like and subscribe to both of our channels because you'll get both ends of the spectrum there. It's a great way to learn. Until next time, knowledge is power.
That's it for this episode of today's podcast. We hope you were able to learn something. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on future content. Also, leave a rating so we can help even more people learn about telecommunications. Until next time, be safe.